medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for personal care. If you have or you suspect you might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of this radio show or their sponsors.
Good afternoon and welcome to Let's Talk Healing. Listeners, I'm your host, Anna, and I'd like to thank you very much today for your listening support, and I'd also like to thank our sponsors. Today's show is all about creating inside realities and outside realities. We're going to be diving into that topic of how your thoughts create your reality, as well as where should we work first. And normally at this point, I would welcome Atana himself, as he is the show that this, he is the inspirational healer this show is dedicated to. And you've actually just heard Atana's music. Atana is an author, musician, master energy healer, and international teacher. But today, I'm going to do something a little bit different. We're going to shake it up, and we have with us always on this program two other energy healers who in their own rights are incredible healers, and I always make them wait, but today we're going to bring them in first to talk about this topic. So I'm sorry, Atana, you're going to have to park yourself for a moment, and we are going to have a conversation, first of all, I think, with the lovely Carol. Hello, Carol, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing very well. I'm happy to be here.
Good. We are discussing this topic this week, creating inside realities and outside realities. And this topic came to me this week, Carol, as I was actually outside hanging up my laundry, thinking, as I do, deeply about life. It's amazing what can come to you in those moments.
It's a perfect time to do that, isn't it?
And I was thinking about, you know, certain ranges of the spectrums of my friends. And some of them are really focused on creating these incredible outside realities. I mean, they're living it up. They've got the life. They've got businesses and cars and, you know, every trapping that would go with an extraordinary outside life or appear to have. And then you've got, I've got other friends on that spectrum that have really almost given everything away. You know, they want a coffee plunger and to be able to serve the world. And it just came to me to be thinking, how do those two intersect? Where is the healthy intersection of those two, the outside and the inside, or building and cultivating that inside reality? Not to then say, well, your external world is not important. And I just wanted to sort of chat to you about that today.
Well, I think that is a great topic. And what we want to look at is what's going on the inside usually shapes what's going on in the outside when, you know, like that's why we want to wake up our consciousness. Like you said in the beginning, like how your thoughts create your reality and where do we start first. And I do appreciate that there's a difference with some folks that are, you know, not fully awake and the outside world is their reality. You know, I mean, like they may or may not be fully thinking about what's going on the inside. Or, you know, like in all of their bodies, you know, mentally or spiritually or astrally. But what I would like to talk about in, like, in relation to all of this is I even have an acronym for this.
Yeah.
Carol has acronym. Okay, FEAP. Okay.
What is so, it, Carol?
It's FEAPP. FEAP.
Yeah.
So you focus on the feeling. You do your energy work. You do action steps. You bring in perseverance and patience. And that's how you create your, you know, like you create it from the inside to have it materialize on the outside. So, you know, we have to do that with thoughts, right? But ultimately, we also have to, like for me, because I was very much in my head, I've mentioned this before, when I first started working with Atana, I was very mental. Like, you know, just like, tell me how I can learn it, think it, process it. And to access feelings was not something that was easy for me. I mean, like, I could cogitate feelings. Like, I knew, you know, I would cry and I would laugh and I would be happy and stuff like that. But, like, feeling from a healthy second chakra is a different kind of feeling. And it's like that intuitive kind of feeling. You know what I mean? About that difference. And so for me, I had to develop that. All right, how do I want to, like, I wanted my freedom. And so I would, like, think freedom, right? Like, what does freedom mean, and how can I put all these words to freedom? But I would still be in my head with that. And when I learned to incorporate, what would I feel like when I'm free? What, you know, like, what kind of feelings would I have? I would feel calmer. My anxiety would be lessened. I might have a little bit more serenity. I might feel at peace. I might be more excited about things I could do. And when I turned my focus on the energy of those feelings, that brings like a new dimension, you know, because you're leaving just the mental compartment and you're opening it up for the other aspects of you. I opened it up for the other aspects of me, and it made it a deeper process.
So you really, what you're doing there is you're actually including more of yourself. So you're not limiting yourself just to your thinking processes.
Exactly, right? And so you bring in, and that's where like the energy work comes in, because as you heal your chakras, and there's more access to you when you clear your chakras and you have a clearer spin in the chakras. So in the beginning, when I was like all up in my head, I didn't have very much access to my lower chakras. And the more energy work I did, where I could get more access to my lower chakras, then the more the concept, which is a mental thing, a mental construct, but the more that concept came into my mind of like, oh, if I can tune into how I will feel when this and this and this happens, then it's like the universe understands that better.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, because that's a vibration, right?
You're like working on your own strategic plan there. You're saying, when I get this goal, to reach this goal, when I get to this goal, this is how I'm going to feel. And then you've just reversed that.
Yeah, then you start feeling that way. So if I'm going to feel at more peaceful, then I start tuning into that peaceful feeling. And so when I'm doing my energy work or meditation, I want to connect with that peaceful feeling, which of course makes it easier when I connect with oneness first. So I connect with my oneness, and then it's whatever my the goal is, if it's peace or freedom or health, you know, it's like, what will I feel like when I'm healthy? Well, my stomach won't hurt so much anymore. So it'll feel good to have, to be able to eat anything that I want and have it not hurt. And so I bring in, like, feeling the satisfaction of eating and digesting and having a healthy digestive system that doesn't hurt when it's trying to work. And so you then, see, then you're bringing, the idea is to incorporate the heart into it, because, you know, the heart is the middle of the upper and lower chakras. So if I was all up in my head, and then I open up my chakras and work, try and access more to my lower chakras, then my heart has a better opportunity to get in the game, right? And kind of start opening up. And what gives us more access to unconditional love into the situation. So unconditional love into my chakras, which then helps me to feel that peace and that, you know, healthy digestion or whatever it is that is my strategic goal, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I have, but I have people.
Can I just take, sorry, I just wanted to ask you, it's quite a fascinating thing, because did you realize that things weren't in your external life as you wanted them to be? Like, and how did you all of a sudden become aware? Was it a niggling feelings, or were you just unhappy? Or what started to show up? Or did you have desires of things to be different?
You know, that's a really interesting question. And for me, it was just that little bit of something deep inside that there was always like this despair or depression or something deep inside. And I can remember, like, analyzing that, going, where is this coming from? Because I have the, you know, quote, picture perfect life, you know, married with kids, nice home, dog and a cat, you know, I mean, but there was that unknown, like, where is this sadness coming from? And so there was a while when I was not aware. I just knew that I should be happy, but I wasn't. And it was, but that did lead me to starting to work with Atana. And through the energy work, as the blinders came off, I started to realize that the reason I wasn't happy is because this, quote, picture-perfect life that I had was an illusion. Mm. That, you know, that there was suppression happening, I was being controlled and manipulated, and I didn't even know I was being controlled and manipulated. And
wow.
So as that started to unfold, then I could start to see the picture of, like, I feel so good when I do energy work. I feel calm, and I feel like everything's okay. Like, it's going to be all right. There's support here. And so that started to give me kind of the contrast. So I would have my daily life and the struggles and all the chaos and stuff of daily life, and then I would do my energy work, and I would say, this feels so different. This feels supportive. Mm. This feels calming. This feels, you know, like I can touch love here, you know? And so that started to open that up for me, where I could have that. I think what you were asking was, like, how did I know to reach for those feelings, right? Like, how did I know to, like, set that strategic plan up? And so that's where the idea was, like, ultimately, as I left my situation, I began to see clearer that really what I was looking for was freedom, health, and happiness. You know, it's like, and so sometimes it's we get caught up in, like, the things that we want, right? Like, we can sit down and write a couple pages, like, of what we want. You know, I want stability and income, and I want to have a car, and I want to have a place to live, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But if you can, if you can go back to the feeling, I want to have freedom, and I want to be healthy, and I want to be happy. And so I want to create all the things that allow me to feel those things.
Yeah, and then what you're doing is you're then opening that up to what really Atana and you guys talk about, which is this oneness. So it allows the best potential to then arrive to you without any sort of limitation, I guess. Is that true?
Yeah, because you're allowing the universe and the support that's there for you to make it happen for you, you know, without that you're putting conditions on it, or, you know, like, yeah, I want a car, but it has to be, has to be red, and it has to be this year and stuff, you know, when, oh, there was a free car right there for you, but it was blue, and you said, no, you wanted a red one, you know? So we have to, like, that's why it took me years to figure that out, that if it's, like, if it's the feeling, okay, so if it's the feeling that goes with it, if feeling free means driving down the road in a convertible, then maybe the universe is going to provide a convertible for you, you know?
I hope so. I hope you get a convertible, and I hope somebody else gets a convertible today, a red one. Anyway, we're going to go to a short commercial break, and we will be back in one moment. Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing. I am your host, Anna, and today we are discussing creating inside realities and outside realities. We are talking to our guests today, who are the amazing women that join us every week that are incredible energy healers in their own rights. We've just been speaking to Carol, and now we have the lovely Saber with us as well. So hello, Saber.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to speaking with you so much today about this topic, creating inside realities and outside realities. It was so much to discuss about it, and I just wanted to open it up to you, first of all, to see if you've got any thoughts on the topic itself.
Well, when meditating before getting ready for the show, there was something that the angels wanted me to talk about today, and it's directly related to creating our outside realities and our inside realities, and that is patience. The word of the day today is patience, and a lot of us really don't understand what patience means, and we're taught by external sources that, oh, if you're a good little boy and a good little girl, and if you wait a little bit and have a little bit of patience, you'll get whatever it is you want. And that's kind of bull. You have to work at patience. You have to always try and fail and try and fail until you get to a point where you feel like you have patience, and then there's a whole other cycle that comes in and says, no, you're not even close yet. We're going to throw more things to keep you patient. And one of the things that I discuss a lot is a kind of equating the angels and the process to DMV. Okay, we know that DMV is there. We know that we can get a ID. It'll take a couple of weeks. We know sometimes when we go down to DMV, it is a pain in the ass. And sometimes we're like, whoa, this is easy today, right? But we know ultimately with those two sides of it, we'll get our license Sunday. And if we said in our lives, well, I'm going to strive for something. I'm going to do what it is that's going to make me happy, right? I'm going to search for my freedom, and I'm going to manifest it. And if we said, I'm going to work at this for 3 weeks only and give up. If I don't get it in 3 weeks, then I'm done. Then you are selling yourself short. You have to realize that every time you put things into the universe, there is a protocol that comes along with it. And sometimes what you need and what you want are two different things. And what you should have is another. And so what you need to do is be patient. And there are going to be times, this was so loud today, the angel said to me, tell them there are going to be times when they just want to give up. It might be a dozen times that they are, I'm patient, I've been waiting for years, and I'm going to give up. There might be 12 of those times that you've done that. But do not give up. You will get there. If you are patient and truly patient and allow yourself to do the work, you will get to where you need to go, or you will manifest what it is that your mind and your heart are trying to come together to manifest for you. Not just your mind or not just your heart, but both of them together to create a masterpiece that you never, ever could have dreamed of, right? Whenever I go places, I always try to trick myself test myself. I'm going to a new hotel, and I try to use my abilities to see in the room. It's called remote viewing, to even see what the room looks like before I get there. And 9 times out of 10, I can see into the room. I can see what kind of couch it is. I can see what kind of wallpaper there is. But sometimes I can't, right? And so if I said, that 10th time, oh, screw it, I can't do it, I suck at this, I don't want to do this anymore. I am really giving up on those 9 other times where I am succeeding and I am doing well, and I'm just concentrating on that one aspect of what I'm trying to create. Whereas when I'm trying to manifest this whole thing, there's so many parts of this that I don't even recognize are happening behind the scenes. It's like movies when you have your boom guy, and you have the costume designer and the set designer, and you have the person running lines and the person bringing the food and setting up lunch for everyone. All of that is happening behind the scenes. And if you did not know about Hollywood, you would not know that's happening. So it's the same thing with us in manifestation. Do not give up. Do not allow yourself to give up, because it's almost when you're there, when you're like really ready to give up, because as I said before, there's about 12 times that you're going to go through this and you're going to say, I can't do this anymore. I can't. Around that 12th time, when you're truly saying I can't, is when it's going to be, I did. And it's done. And all of the greats, all of the people who have amazing, magical stories to tell us about how they have overcome that type of mindset with patience, they bring this up, to not give up, to keep going.
Saba, I just want to quickly ask you, Atana talks a lot about patience as well when working with crystals, because, he says these crystals, you have to be patient working with them. And that just came to my mind, because the patience is also patience of lifetimes. And we talk a lot about multidimensional aspects of ourselves, one of those being past lives, future lives, parallel lives. And it often occurs to me that, some of the things that I really, really want to create this lifetime might not be able to happen, but I've got multiple lifetimes to try. And it's having that patience in this lifetime for the multiple lifetimes that are going to occur. I'd just love to, if you could speak a little bit to that, please.
Well, it's interesting you're bringing this up. I was discussing this same exact thing with my eldest son the other day. And it does affect your lifetimes. Everything is happening now, right? So to say that this lifetime will not affect the others or the ones in the past or the ones in the future is really not, and it's hard for our earthly brains to understand this concept, right? But if you're saying, I want something to happen and I'm going to enlist the animals around me, the people around me, the crystals around me, my whole team, my angels, whatever it is, right, to make this happen because it means so much to me, right? And more often than not, in the parallel universe, right, you're doing somewhat similar or the exact same thing under different circumstances, and you're using this team in this lifetime to affect that lifetime. And so calling upon things like crystals and animals and, you know, our teams is so important because that just kind of brings in an extra pair of eyes and hands and hearts to push it through. And speaking of patience with crystals, I have crystals all over my house. You know, being friends with Atana for almost a decade, you will, right? Acquire some crystals. And I was walking around the yard just the other day, and there was a crystal. It was kind of like stuck in the one of the pots I have outside growing flowers. And it was like, hey, girl, you remember me? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. It was like seeing a long-lost friend, this purple scepter. And it was like, this little dude has been so patient for like 4 years sitting here waiting for me. And now we're reunited. And it was just so beautiful. It said to me, gosh, we're all learning about patience, every single one of us. every single one of us. And when you think someone is not, then you're not really seeing things clearly, right? You're not really grounded. And that's another thing is, you know, you talked about looking at other people. You know, they look like they have this and they look like they have that going on. But we both know that sometimes is not usually the reality. And so to base ourselves on other people is a really a hard thing and a sad thing to do just to our souls, because it's almost like, you know, and I honestly, I've never been on Facebook. I signed on to Facebook years ago and I signed right off. Something inside of me said, no, this is not right. And so I got shit from everyone for years. Why aren't you on there and this and that? And I want to talk to you, and so I'll see you. I'll see you in person, you know. But it just looked like we were trying to one-up each other all day long and to hurt each other by looking at what others have. And everyone in those pictures were smiling all the time, 100% of the time. And I'm thinking, this is not indicative of real life. We're not smiling and happy all the time and on a vacation, right? It's just not real life. And so it was another tool that I think kind of brought us off the track, letting us believe that, you know, you can be perfect. You can have this perfect life. And look at Jane and Joe and Josie, you know, they're perfect. Why aren't you perfect, you know? And so I was like, screw that. You know, I'm not doing this. And and now we're starting to see that there's more levels of that that weren't so great. So if you feel something is off when you're looking outside yourself, you know, comparing yourself, please take a second look, ground yourself, take a breath, take a walk, you know, give yourself some time to see things clearly, because you don't want to create another false sense of reality within your life.
Thank you, Saba. That's beautiful. Very true.
You're beautiful.
And what are we going to... we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'd love to talk to both you and Carol a little bit more about where to start. Because for me, you know, it's not just about working on your inside reality to make things in the outside reality happening. It's also about actively participating in your outside reality to create the life that you love. And that's what we're all about doing here, because the more you love your life, the more that you're able to inspire others to their full potential. So just stay with us for a minute and we will be right back to talk about this topic, creating inside realities and outside realities. Stay tuned. Listeners, welcome back to Let's Talk Healing. I am your host, Anna, and today we have been speaking to our two regular guests, Saba and Carol. It's been just lovely holding this space today with these two incredibly powerful energy healers, just having a chat about creating inside and outside realities. And I'd like to continue today. Carol, I just want to revert back to you for a minute. For many, many years, I guess I lived in a state of, it sounds much like you, confusion about feelings. I was overwhelmed by my feelings, and I was, I guess, taught not to feel certain feelings, or that something was wrong with me for feeling certain feelings. And also my parents, who were lovely, loving people, did their best, but, you know, they wouldn't talk to me about certain things. They would tell me that that wasn't their job, you know, they weren't my psychologist or whatever they wanted to say to me. And I look back now and I realize they didn't actually have the skills to help me with the things I needed help with. And I lived for many years in a state of anxiety, fear, confusion. The confusion that rained down upon me was just immense. And I had to work on my inside world first. And I worked with a number of different tools and techniques to help gather myself into a place where I felt oriented. I felt oriented with my higher, this oneness, consciousness, and then I could calm myself down, I could connect to my feelings, I could process them. And then I realized that I wanted to start actually working on my external life. And what you've talked about today is, you know, getting in touch with those feelings, working with the energy work, creating the action steps. I'd love to talk a little bit more about that, because it's not just about doing that inside work. It's also then coming out with a plan about what do I need to execute daily? What are the smallest measurable doses I need to execute daily to build the life that I love? So can we just dive into that a little bit more?
Yes, and I love the story that you told, because you show how when you were confused with the feelings, there wasn't any structure, right? You didn't know what step to take next. And
yeah,
with you know, like what I was saying earlier, like you focus on the feeling, my little FEAP acronym, focus on the feeling, energy work, action steps, perseverance, patience. So what the energy work does for us is it creates that infrastructure that you eventually found somehow. You found, you know, when you started taking the work that you did for your inside reality, what you were doing was creating a stable infrastructure so that there was clarity. And that's that's what happens when we do the energy work, when we are clearing our chakras and clearing out stagnations or blockages or things that are interfering. Like whenever we have that, the stagnations and blockages and interference in our energy system, that's what's keeping us confused. And so that we don't have access to the clarity of what our next step is or what the big picture is or even what it is we want to create. And so as you do the energy work and you clear these interferences, these blockages, stagnations, whatever it is, you know, we've talked about, all the different things that can interfere with us, like entities and feelings and addictions and stuff like that. Whatever that is, we clear that with the energy work. And as that's being cleared and as the energy is starting to flow more harmoniously, then we're building that infrastructure. And so then that is what allows us to have the clarity to take the next step. So like you do your energy work and then you do like two action steps, right? Because you have to follow up the energy work with action. So set the energetic intention in the energy work. You clear energetically and then you set the energetic intention, like Atana gives us the examples for in the Sacred Inner Dialogue book. We clear through Sacred Inner Dialogue, and we can also set the intention. And that helps us. Go ahead.
Sorry, Carol. I was just going to say, this is so important, and I would love to give our listeners, actually, an example of this. So, you know, if you were saying, okay, let's just say I have, my mum and I are fighting a lot, and I want to be friends with her and I want to get along with her, but she's just driving me nuts, right? And it's causing a wedge between our relationship. Give me something, like using this, how I say it? EFAP, is that right?
EFAP.
EFAP. If I'm using this method, can you just run me through what somebody would do then? So how would they process that?
Okay, so we would identify the energetic pattern that's going on between you and your mom. Is it that your mom is not being supportive of you, or is she being harsh? You know, we would identify that. So let's say she's not supporting you in your goals in life, or she's not providing support, and she's only negative all the time. And
yeah.
So identifying that, we would do then energy work. We would work with, you know, with the Atana method, working with clearing the chakras. And then through Sacred Inner Dialogue, we would work on clearing this negativity association with your mom, so with the mother. So it'd be like whatever is bringing in, whatever energetic pattern is bringing in that negativity, let's clear that. Maybe it's a karmic thing. Maybe it's a lineage thing. Maybe it's something from this lifetime that has to do with a trauma or something. And so we work on that energetically. But if the person is like, okay, frustrated because they're just like fed up, I don't even want to talk to mom anymore because, you know, this wedge is being created here. So then it would be like, okay, we've worked energetically, we're setting the infrastructure. Now, the action steps might be, let's look at your boundaries. Do you have healthy boundaries? And so you can be energetically setting up healthy boundaries. And then also, when you do talk to mom on the phone, when do you change the, you know, she starts to go negative or harping, then it's like, okay, then you pivot and change the subject. And
yeah, right, okay.
So another
it's really getting down to those really fine details. And this is what working with an energy healer is about, right? So you work on all the feelings, but then you actually might identify some action steps. And then they also become your external tools. So, Mum, when you're badgering on about really negative things to me, this is what I do. I pivot. And then it's about practicing that. Is that correct?
And it's most effective when you hold the knowledge. And I can tell you, I've done this personally in my own life. It's interesting that you bring that up, because my mom would tend to get like all negative, you know, on the phone and, you know, talking about whatever, you know, neighbors and the media and all this kind of stuff. And I would simply change the subject, or I would neutralize what she was saying. If she was saying about something splashy, you know, some big splashy media thing, I would just neutralize it and say, oh, well, maybe that's how it worked out, you know, and then I would change the subject. And what ended, and I didn't tell her this is what I was doing. I just was having my boundary of, I'm not going to engage in the media hype and the negativity and or the rumor mongering, you know, or anything like that. I'm not going to engage in it. I'm either going to neutralize it or I'm going to completely change the subject. And I persevered with that. And what ended up happening was she just naturally stopped bringing all of that stuff up as much. You know, she might still try and squeak it in there every now and then, but but I always pivot it. I turn it. And so it took, because it's my experience, right? So what in me is bringing this negativity or this harshness or this controlling or this whatever to me? And when I clarify that in me, saying I want peace and harmony and positivity and unconditional love for others, then there's going to be less opportunity for it to come to me. Like I'm not open to that. So that is a real action step, and that is part of the coaching that can go into the energy work, for sure.
Amazing. And then the last two is patience and perseverance. Like I really go on a lot about this with my own kids. These two qualities are incredibly important, both of them together. So it's about then repeating that over and over, isn't it? And having faith that the energy work is going to do its work.
Yeah, so I have people that are like, okay, I know what I want, and I've done the energy work, so where is it? Why isn't it here? And, you know, they're not, it's like what Sabre was talking about. They're giving up after the first or second try, not even getting to 9 or 10. So yeah, you have to just keep working at it. Atana likes to remind us that the energetic system is often like a muscle system, you know, like muscle memory. And so when you do reps at the gym, when you are lifting and working those muscles, the muscles remember that. Or it's even the same idea as tying your shoes or riding a bike. Our muscles remember that. And so does our energetic system. But, you know, when we were learning those things the first time, there was trial and error. And so we are honing. We're always clarifying and honing. And then we're also, we got to remember that we're expanding every day. So as we are honing in on our goal, we also have expansion that we might still have to transform more stuff. So when it feels like a setback sometimes, it's really that you've just opened up a new area that you've expanded into that you get to transform now on your way to your goal.
Yeah, right. I mean, it is, once you start opening it up, there's so much in there to look at. Sometimes I even wonder how, what, you know, could you be doing anything else? be doing this energy work. I guess that's why you guys make careers out of it. But anyway, thank you, Carol, for sharing that with us. We're just going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have another chat to Saber. Stay tuned, listeners. Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing. I am your host, Anna, and listeners, today we have been opening up the mics to our lovely guests that are with us every week, and I'm enjoying it so much we're going to keep going. Anyway, we are talking today on about creating inside realities and outside realities, and it just so happens it is like the perfect time. Today I'm actually giving a presentation on a strategic plan for an organization, and you sit down and you work out your vision and your mission and your strategic goals and what you need to actually be doing to execute upon that vision and that mission. And, you know, Carol, I was just listening to what you were saying about that, and that is that vision and that mission is about what I want to achieve and why I want to achieve that. And that often comes down to having that sense of something bigger than oneself. And so it's just perfect, because I'm going to go off and speak to a room of people today, and we're going to map out a 3-year strategic plan for this company and then start working into the actions that each member needs to take. And a lot of that as well has been coaching through blockages, patterns, limiting beliefs that individuals have for themselves to be able to fulfill and execute upon those goals, you know. And so I realized how important energy work is and how you can apply it to anywhere, whether it be the individuals within a business organization or within the family that you're working with. It's just, I'm always amazed. But Saber, I want to come back to you for a minute, please, because creating this inside and outside reality, you know, I'm thinking a lot about the East meets West conundrum. You know, you look, and I think this is very stereotypical, what I'm about to say, so I check myself. But over us in the West, you know, we really are focused mainly on the external, like achieving, you know, huge amounts of wealth and external possessions. And, you know, in the East, meditation is where meditation grew. And traditionally, the vast majority of the people in those countries, the billions of people, didn't have very much. So the cultivation of that inner life became even more important, because the riches of their external life weren't necessarily equal to that. And I was just pondering on that during the week and wanting to talk a little bit about that and how we might be able to find more balance between those two, I guess, if you like, dualities.
Well, I think the first thing that you're trying to get at is our relationship with the riches and the mindset of being prosperous and wealthy. And we're really taught that we are supposed to be number one, we're supposed to be rich, but then in the same sentence, you can't do it, it's impossible, there's not enough wealth to go around, so don't even try it.
And we live in this power struggle, this energetic power struggle every day, all week. And if you're not aware of it, it can really hurt you. So as Carol was saying before, you know, she had this mindset, she was blessed, and, you know, the kids, the car, the house, all of it, blessed, okay? And I feel the same way. And I always wondered, why do I have to be poor, but also in the same breath be obedient and a good manifester and a balanced person? Why can't I be both? You know, if I have more to share, then wouldn't that be better? So I started looking at wealth in a way that I could say, I love you. It's not going to, you're not going to encompass me. You're not going to be my carrot on a stick. But I am wealthy already, and I will always be wealthy. You'll never take that away from me. And I want to manifest that as well as all of the riches of the spirit and the soul, as what you're talking about. And that for me has been, and here I am talking, I never charge for my healings. And life and the world and the universe takes care of me wholeheartedly. So to me, it's been quite a journey with that, because years ago, I was scared of money. I was scared to have it. I was scared not to have it. I was scared to go after it. I was scared to have it in my pocket. And I just said, what the hell is wrong with this relationship? This is an energy just like any other that I have learned to understand and invoke and bring into my life and balance as best I can. And you can do that as well. You can create a life full of love and balance and riches of both the soul and the spirit and the earth. And it would be nice if you shared it with others, right? It just keeps going and going and going. Like, how am I supposed to build this love community and this love school without the funds to do it, right? So if I was saying to myself all the time, I'm going to be a person, a servant of God, and I'm never going to think about money, well, that's, you know, that's not really a smart way to get to my goal, right? I could get to my goal, but I need to have that in my mind, right? So instead of being a slave to money, I brought it in as a friend and said, I love you, and I want to work with you, and I want to make this better for all of us, and I want everyone to know that they are just as important and they can have just as much as anyone else can if they get back to that teaching and they get back to that energy.
And tell me, on a daily basis, are you practicing both this outside and inside energy work? So, you know, Carol talks about working in this inside work, but then actually making these actions. Are you actually doing that as well?
Yes. And there are some days when I will be doing this for 8 hours at a time. And then there's some days where I'll do it for 8 seconds. But neither one of those is better than the other. Each one of those with done with the whole heart and spirit and full intention of full power is just as equal. So if I say, for instance, I'm going to dedicate my next tennis lesson to the earth, to the animals on the earth, to the people on the earth, to the love of this place that I want to give to everyone, the peacefulness, I want to send it out. Every stroke I hit, every ball I pick up, every word that comes out of my mouth, every sweat drop that comes out of my pores is for the divine, is for the honor of all of us. And I didn't have to sit in a room for 8 hours and, right? Just as powerful, just as beautiful. But there's days when I need that. I need to be quiet. I need to ohm it up. I need to do that because that fills another part of my soul. It's almost like medicines or tinctures, right? everyone's got a certain type of meditation process that they have, and it fills a certain part of their soul. You wouldn't be, if you didn't need what we're talking about, this teaching, this sound of my voice about this teaching would not be in your matrix right now. You would not be hearing it if you didn't need it or need to look at it.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's almost,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a divine appointment to start looking into this. Yes.
And it really is about both of those things. It's about taking the dualistic nature of this planet that we're on, and Atana talks a lot about this. You know, we live in a dualistic world, and how do we bring that into wholeness, and how do we connect back to that oneness, which, it's like that East meets West mindset and realities of the external and the internal, and bringing that all into oneness inside of us, you know, and then working out, well, how do we actually, then we can have a choice. Then we can choose the way we are in the world. And that's real freedom. I mean, let's be honest. When we have choice and we can execute on that choice, that is true freedom. And we're not trapped in the patterns of our families. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I just wanted to quickly say we've been speaking today to such beautiful women, such beautiful energy healers, and I just wanted to quickly give Atana, you know, only a few minutes to speak. Because, Atana, we've just, you know, been having the best chat, but I just wanted to bring you in at the last 5 minutes to speak. How are you?
I'm good. All power to the women. What can we say? So, I'm grateful that I have a couple of minutes to be on here. I know you guys doing a fabulous job, so you guys just made it happen, ladies, and powerfully stepping up and making this happen and supporting everybody that's tuning in, and that's beautiful. That's a blessing. I just wanted to say I love you. I love all of you, and I love our wonderful listeners, our sponsors, Dawn, and these wonderful ladies here doing such a fabulous work, and I would really like to see everybody appreciating that. And blessings and love, that's really just all I wanted to say today.
Oh, well, I've just got to quickly ask you one more thing, Atana. You have got a level one class in November coming up. Can you just talk to us quickly about these things? So level one class in November, you've got an expo in Philadelphia at the end of this month. What is that all about?
Yeah, it's an expo where I introduce sacred inner dialogue and also the prosperity healing mantras. And I'm going to have also like a gallery reading with Sid, with the Sacred Inner Dialogue, where people can come in and I support them into transforming what they're working on. Then the next one is in Nashville in October. Carol is also going to be there and Jeff. And then we have in November is the Energy Healing class coming up, 9, 10, 11, level one, yes.
Wow. So all of this stuff we've been talking about today, everybody, all of the work around creating this inside and outside reality, the best way to find out any further information is just to Google Atana or look at his website, atanamethod.com.au. But Atana, I just wanted to give you the last few minutes. We've been discussing creating inside and outside realities today. If you've got like the quickest and briefest take that you'd like to just share with our listeners. I'm just going to pass the mic to you for 5 seconds.
Yes, a very important part of creating one's reality is also keeping a focus on it, and also starting to write things down that might sound like a dream idea or a lofty idea, and actually starting to have that inner thought or dream actually in the outside, even manifested through language, through ink, or even a picture. And when you start to really write your dreams and your realities that you would like to create down, something magical is happening. You're actually creating already the first and second steps of creating that reality and attracting that reality in this dimension that you're living in and that you want other realities to be replaced with.
Mm. Well, we could do a whole class just on that. And I have to say, what you just touched on is truly my favorite topic. I love a bit of strategy in business and I love a bit of strategy in personal life. And we can talk about that in future episodes. But I just wanted to sign off today by saying this. We are so blessed to have you listeners and as well as our sponsors. And I'm just, none of this would be happening without you, Atana. Everyone is here supporting this incredible work that you bring into the world.
Thank you.
It is magic and it has changed so many of our lives. And I also and you are so grateful. The truth of the matter, you really are. You live that. And I also just wanted to thank Carol and to Saber, incredible women showing up every week to support Atana and this work, and mostly to support all of you. So thank you very much, everybody. Thank you to Atana for just tuning in right at that last few minutes. We didn't give you much space and time today, Atana, but next week we'll open the floor back up to you again. Bye-bye, Carol. Bye-bye, Saber.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And blessings, everybody.
Bye-bye.